Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron and Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Thank you, and fly me to the moon and let me swing among the stars. Natalie Hinkle joins us, assistant professor and planetary astrophysicist at LSU. Good morning, professor. How are you?
I'm great, Tommy. Good to be with you again.
Good to be with you, and happy new year to you. Thanks for taking the time. So President Trump wants the U.S. back on the moon before his term ends. It's not as simple as just loading up the car and taking, making sure everybody's gone to the bathroom beforehand and making sure you got some snacks and the car's full of gas, the oil is changed, etc. What is it going to take to put us back on the moon before the end of President Trump's term?
Yeah, it's a great question. And honestly, it's going to take quite a lot of work. There right now, even like it seems that people are calling into question the various orbiters and like launch vehicles that might actually get the astronauts to the moon. So we're looking specifically at like the Artemis II launch, and they even named recently like the four folks who are going to be going up there. And I'm of course extremely excited and jealous. So there's a lot of things that that need to really come together. I mean, right now there's sort of some back and forth about the actual vehicle that's going to get them there. Right now, there's been some design for various rockets and various boosters. There's one that's called Starship. There's also some stuff that's coming out of like SpaceX. And the problem is just trying to get everybody tooled up that quickly to make sure that not only is a launch successful, but you can get all the astronauts to the moon safely. And so to do that within 3 years with almost no lead time, I mean, like, you know, there's been some work and some preparation for the actual astronauts, but getting all that technology ready to go in a way that you are absolutely 100% convinced that like everybody's going to get there safely and that this will be a success.
And get back.
Exactly. A lot. Of course. And of course, get back. I mean, like, it's a lot. And, you know, we haven't been to the moon since the 70s. So, you know, there's a lot riding on this. And it's honestly, I think it's more important to make sure that everybody is safe, that they return, than trying to make it in sort of, you know, this very crunch kind of timeline.
So it's not like we have an Apollo command module or a lunar module and some rockets sitting in a garage somewhere. And Grandpa, much like his 75 Gran Torino, and I'm dating myself by saying that, is going to take the cover off and blow the dust off. It's like, oh, yeah, she's good. She's ready to go. Let's go. What do we have?
Well, even,
now?
If,
Go ahead.
Even if you were to do that with your grandfather's grand, you know, you need to make sure that, you know, there's enough oil and like that everything is like lubed up and ready to go. So like even that you couldn't just take out and be like, we're going to drive it across the country sort of thing. You know, it takes time. But honestly, we don't have anything that's sort of like mothballed and that's able to be used right now. Like that's just all of the shuttles that were available during the Apollo mission. Missions have since actually become museum pieces. Like literally you can go and see them like in like Houston and in, you know, various different NASA Center museums. So right now the only options are like, you know, these various rockets and boosters that are actively being developed now. And that's scary because, you know, you want to make sure that everything's going to work the way that you want it to. So one of the options on deck is like it's called a space launch system. That was what was used for Artemis 1. But people are actually kind of concerned about it because it's not like as reusable as other rockets that we've seen might be, like that's come out of SpaceX. There's also a Starship that's coming out, but that also has some issues. So like, yeah, there's things are still kind of being sorted out, and a lot of this has sort of been the push from switching over from a more, you know, government-led program to now privatized. And so it's trying to see, like, who has what and what might be compatible. But even then, you know, there's a lot sort of under the hood that you might not know about. So right now, we don't have anything definitive for the moon that can work all the way there and then all the way back. It doesn't mean it can't happen quickly, but it's going to take some time.
So is space stuff, or are you talking about trying to get a PC stuff? And I don't know what I'm talking about here, but to get a Mac work with PC stuff, or to see if this program works with that one, a patchwork of stuff, is that what we're talking about here, Professor?
Yeah, it might end up being a patchwork of things. But right now, I don't know that anybody honestly knows how this is going to end up. Like, the current thought was to go with like the space launch system from Artemis 1, but I've even been reading recently that various programs, like it might actually be opened up again for other bids from other people, for example, from SpaceX. And so it could be that it could be kind of like a mishmash of like different things from different people, or it could be that, you know, one company kind of takes the lead and then does it from start to finish. But honestly, like even right now, and I'm, you know, looking over an article that was published 5 days ago, like people don't even know exactly what's going to be used at this point. So, that's a bit nerve-wracking because not only do you want to, you know the hardware that you're going to be dealing with, but then you have to train the astronauts on how to use it. And you have to get all the flight people like who are on the ground also ready and all the different like procedures and protocols and that sort of thing. You know, that takes time. Those are the sorts of things that you have to like practice over and over and over again, especially for the astronauts who will be undergoing, you know, a lot of changes to gravity and their bodies and everything when they're, you know, going through the atmosphere and then eventually getting out into space and getting to the moon. You know, you want to make sure that these procedures are extremely well honed, that you know what to do in every single circumstance. You don't, you know, want to be looking something up of like, oh, what do I do now? You know, you need to have that ready in your brain, locked and loaded, such that if something happens, you can pivot and make the best choices. And that takes time like anything else. So, you know, I'm not saying that 3 years is impossible, but it is a very hard push, I think, to get all the pieces in place for the hardware and also the people ready to get it in that tight amount of time.
Professor, I am reading from a text. This is a text that came in from a listener. I want that to be clear, and I'm going to read the entire text because part one might have some merit, part two, not so sure about. And it's from the last four digits, 2104, and the text says, I don't understand. We've been to the moon, so that's all we have to do is rebuild the Saturn rocket and go. If you need to make a few adjustments, that should be no problem whatsoever. That only makes me think that maybe, and I'm saying maybe, we really didn't reach the moon. Keep in mind, that's a text that I read.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, we could rebuild the Saturn rocket. However, that would take even longer. So the Saturn rocket, that was around, for a long time, but it is now outdated. And so if we were to go back, we take all the blueprints exactly as they were, we have to recreate all of those parts, many of which are no longer being built, mm-hmm. because we've moved beyond that technology. So then we'd have to tool up an entirely different infrastructure that's now fairly outdated in order to build exactly what the Saturn rocket needs. So it's not even just starting with what we have now. We'd have to go back, figure out different ways to build these different hardware, this equipment, that sort of thing, put it together. So we have to then manufacture it, pour various things into molds. You're making stuff out of metal, so that's extremely hard. Do that to manufacture it and then come together to build it. So we'd actually be starting basically two steps backwards if the idea was to go and rebuild the Saturn rocket. So with current rockets and things like that, they have much, much more advanced technology, that has really come along in the last, 40, 50 years that we can take advantage of. So if you saw any of the missions that have launched, sending people into space, and you see, if you just watch any parts of it and you see the interior of those rockets, they look so much more modern. You have different types of screens and buttons, but also safety procedures. The spacesuits, much different than what they were, because we have much better fabrics and things like that. So you might not need such hugely bulky spacesuits. In most spacesuits, there are actually 5 different layers to protect the astronauts. So now with more modern fabrics and technology, we could probably make that much smaller, much thinner, that sort of thing. But also all of the equipment that we have, we're taking advantage of all the leaps and bounds that have been made technologically in the last, number of decades. And we should be taking advantage of that. We should be using all the latest tech in order to really, make sure that these various missions, because it's not just one, this is not a one-off. Up on deck is the Artemis 3 mission, where they're planning on sending some folks to the moon, and actually will let them walk around and be on the moon. And so we want to take advantage of everything that we've been able to accomplish in the last number of decades in order to make sure that success, keep our astronauts safe and have success in the actual work and the science that they're trying to accomplish. And, I'm also particularly invested in the Artemis 3 mission, because actually a friend of mine, she and I overlapped for some time, she was actually one of the chosen astronauts for Artemis 3. And so super Dr. Lauren Edgar, she's fantastic, wonderful human, really enjoyed our time together. We hung out a bunch, but I want to make sure she's good, she's safe, she comes home. And that means, putting everything that we've done, and at their beck and call to make sure that these astronauts are safe.
And on a lighter note, I think they have more cup holders now in the
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first 2 orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands, or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Man module, don't they?
I think so. But remember, since you're in space, you don't have to set a cup down. You can just let it float.
That's true. I didn't think about that. All right, 9:22. We'll continue the conversation when we come back. And I got so many questions about getting to the moon before the president's term ends in 3 years that I don't think we have enough time to answer them all, but we'll do our best. If y'all have any questions or comments, 504-260-1870. That's the Oakland Art Jeweler Talk and Text Line. Text them in. President Trump wants the U.S. back on the moon before his term ends, but can it happen safely? We'll be back. WWL. It is 9:28. We're talking to our friend, Professor Natalie Hinkle, an assistant professor in planetary astrophysicist at LSU, about President Trump saying he wants the U.S. back on the moon before his term ends and what would be involved in that happening. Professor, when it comes to the people that were around then, and I'll get to NASA in a minute, but really, I mean, there are people that have studied the theory of it, but is anybody around that actually was involved with all of that still?
That's a fantastic question, and I think it's something that actually is a bigger point that I think maybe not a lot of people think about. Like, I mean, earlier you had the question about, you know, the Saturn V rocket and thinking about the hardware that goes into this and the actual you know, launch vehicles. But it's really, you know, the people are a major, major portion of what it is that gets, you know, astronauts into space. And you need all of their experience, their heritage, and their knowledge of what to do, how to do this. So, you know, so the last time we went to the moon was 1972. And, you know, so that was, you know, a while ago. And while I imagine that most of the people who were part of that at this point have retired, I think that there's probably still some people around who could help with all these, like, these launches to the moon. And so I'm hoping, of course, also that all of their knowledge and the, you know, everything that they learned has been written down in some way, you know, like, you know, documenting every, like, what they learned during the various launches to the moon earlier in the 60s and the 70s. But of course, you know, that's hard to know, and it might not be all the information that you could ever want. So in all likelihood, probably there's not anybody around who are active participants in NASA now that were around when the moon launches happened, you know, in the 70s. So, but that doesn't mean that they're not, you know, maybe still, like, retired and available to talk to, but, you know, it's not going to be the same thing. So it's an excellent point. This will be a new crop of people trying to figure out how to get to the moon and send new technology also to the moon. So, fantastic question, though.
Yeah, well, the other question I had is, when it comes to test flights or rehearsals, they didn't just go to the moon. They orbited the moon first, right? It was a progression where they went to the moon, orbited the moon, and then made sure they could get back. And from there, they attempted the landing. Can you just do a moon landing, or would you have to go through that again as well?
No, I think you'd have to go through that again because you need to be able to test and make sure you can do all the maneuvers that you think that you can do. But fortunately, actually, that's sort of on the docket for the near future. So it's hoped that in maybe about a month that the Artemis II crew, so this is made up of four different people, four different astronauts, that they will actually go and orbit the moon. They'll basically do a figure eight around the moon, so they won't actually get to land on it. In a month, that's the hope, yeah, that the Artemis II crew will actually go and orbit the moon in about a month.
So if that's the case, then you would think you'd have the background with the command module and the rockets, right? Then you go to the actual landing on the moon, which is no easy task, and then the getting it back to the command module. Accurate?
100%. 100%. That's exactly what it is. So basically, right now we're sort of thinking of like one system that they're really looking at, is that they're looking at the rocket and getting it out of Earth's atmosphere, and then being able to command like the main module in that rocket to do these various maneuvers that will get them near the moon and then, you know, orbit it and then send them back home. But when you go and you actually want to land on the moon, it adds in two additional steps. So one, you have to have like sort of a space station that will allow like the initial rocket to dock and then and stop at the space station and let, you know, the humans come out and then switch to then a third part of this, which is like a human landing device. So right now it's called a human landing services that will then send them to the moon in some kind of like, you know, capsule that will allow them to actually stop, you know, land and then settle on the moon. So that way they can get out and conduct the tests that they need to. And then they need to get back into it and then launch from that back to the space station. So right now, like what they'd be testing, like I said, is really just one major component of three major components that would be needed to then land on the moon for the Artemis III crew.
So if we can have cars that drive themselves, and I know it's a lot more complicated going to the moon and back, but if we can have cars that can drive themselves around.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. And one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Ah, DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In Austin, Texas, for example, would there be a way to have this fully automated where you wouldn't even have to risk anybody going into space?
Well, one, like, so the Orion, the Artemis 1 mission was actually uncrewed, where they did test this and they were able to see like what it would be like for, you know, just a purely automated mission. But basically all they did was go up and then go back down. Mm-hmm. The problem is that the more complicated missions that you're sending them out on is that like you're going to have to then try to account for every single thing that could ever go wrong ever. Mm-hmm. And that's extremely difficult. I mean, even like right now with, you know, cars that, you know, have the self-driving capability, you still absolutely need a human in the driver's seat to make sure that if something weird happens, that it can be handled. I mean, in no way would we want a repeat of what happened in Phoenix, Arizona about 10 years ago, where there was an automatic or automated car and it killed a person. So we absolutely need to make sure that like all that technology is there. On top of that, there is no way, I think, at this point that we could send people to the moon and have like automated things go to the moon that will do all the things that we want them to do on the moon in an automated way. And really with the Orion 3 mission is trying to sort of gear up, is trying to see if we can create like more of a base on the moon as like a jumping off platform for other kinds of satellites, maybe, you know, satellites that are going around the moon itself, but also potentially to like better understand Mars from the moon.
Does AI have any role in this, Professor?
It will have some role because that's, and I will say that like in this case, I think it's less AI, so artificial intelligence, it's less things that are trying to make decisions. It's more of very detailed and dedicated procedures. Okay. So artificial intelligence, you can kind of think of as sort of roughly learning from some of the material that you give it, but the answers that, you know, you might get back, they're not necessarily always correct, wow, but it seems correct based on all the other information. So it's not necessarily a foolproof thing. It's just, it's what, you know, it thinks is right-ish. But when you're dealing with, you know, human lives and literally billions of dollars, like you don't have the ability, you don't have the room for really that kind of AI slop. So for these sorts of things, I highly doubt that it'll involve any kind of AI, but more so it'll be very finely tuned, you know, programs that are written by software developers. And that are able to account for all these various things and make sure that they're right, you know, and make sure that it's doing what you think it's doing and not just giving you some kind of semi-answer.
Real quick before we let you go, tell me, does NASA exist anymore, or who is it, under whose tutelage would we go back to the moon?
Right. No, this is, I appreciate you asking. So NASA has been in a very uncertain state for the last year or so. We've had no idea how much funding is coming towards NASA. In a lot of ways, a lot of funding was cut. In the presidential budget request, all of the science, or, you know, in general, the science funding was halved. But fortunately, it's looking a little bit more positive. Jared Isaacson has been named the new head of NASA. And the thought is that under him, there'll be a better way to sort of try to get to the moon, but also to try to like make sure that NASA is still running and running strong. So I know that there's currently a minibus proposal that I believe is in the House, that's at least just been sent to the House, that will basically keep NASA running in about the same budget that it was. And this is extremely important, as we talked about, to make sure that we have like, you know, the people who are around to do all these things, and also to fund like the absolutely core critical science and technology research to get people there and to get them back home again. So I'm really hoping that, you know, this minibus proposal passes and that we'll have a better sense of where NASA is headed, where all of our science funding is coming from, and where we can go as a community and as a country to really try to see, like, you know, how we can know more about space exploration, the moon, and all these different things. They're all connected, and making sure that we have the the people, the funding, and we're able to train up new scientists. Like, that's so absolutely critical and so fundamental. And this last year has been extremely hard, not knowing what's going to happen, how we're going to pay people, if we can pay people. A lot of good people have left the field, and I really hope that doesn't continue in the near future, so that we can continue to have a really strong space program, not only for science, but also, you know, for the U.S.
You and I normally goof around serious conversation day, and I appreciate it. Thank you, Professor.
Thank you so much for having me.
Have a great 2026.
Really,
you bet. Natalie Hinkle, Assistant Professor, Planetary Astrophysicist at LSU. Take a break. Come back. Talk to Alyssa Curtis about some blowback that she had after a story she posted. And I don't think she did anything wrong, but we'll find out her story when we come back. 940, 20 till 10, traffic now, WWL. All right, 9:45, quarter till 10. Before you get yourself all wound up with immigration and ICE and everything else, let me just explain to you the reason why I wanted to have Alyssa Curtis on, a WWL Louisiana reporter. First of all, I know her. Secondly, I look at WWL as family, okay? Whether it's radio or TV, I think we're all part of the same family. And you don't attack family. And thirdly, I think this is important because you can't, on one hand, say you don't trust the government, but then on the other hand, decide to selectively trust them when they are doing what it is that you think should be done, and then say the media should mind its business when they're doing things you think should be done, but yet you want them all over the place investigating this or investigating that. You can't have it both ways. And with that, we welcome in Alyssa Curtis. How you doing, Alyssa?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right. You don't attack family. You just don't do it. Tell me your story.
So we've been covering Border Patrol's operation here in Southeast Louisiana, and I've done a lot of that coverage. Every so often, every, you know, 2 weeks or so, we'll kind of do an update story. Hey, you know, these are the numbers that Border Patrol has given us. These are the amount of people that they have arrested. These are the amount of people that have been deported, et cetera, et cetera. I did one of those stories on Monday, December 15th. The last press release that we had gotten from the Department of Homeland Security was on Thursday, the 11th. So it had been a few days since we got an update. I reached out to them saying, hey, this is the last press release we got, or that's been posted on your media website. You know, it's been a few days. I'm sure more arrests have been made. Can we get some updated numbers so we can, you know, report those? We never got an answer. So Monday I went with the latest information we had, which said the numbers, or they had arrested more than 250 people. That's what we went with. You know, it was accurate. Everyone checked it. You know, we went through the process. It aired. The next morning, so Tuesday, Commander Bovino tweeted our story, you know, quoted the WWL TV account and said, this is incorrect. The number is way closer to 350, which I put out on several news outlets. He never said that to WWL Louisiana. There are certain ways that we can get information and use that. If he was on CBS News, like national news, because we are a CBS affiliated station, if he said that to NOLA.com, CNN, certain things. He never said that to any of those stations. I imagine he may have gone on Fox News or another station that we do not have access to pull that information from.
Alyssa, let me jump in for 1 second, if I may, please. Southbound Causeway is closed while they pick up the cones. Just everybody be aware of that. Now continue, please. I want to get that word out.
Yeah, important. So it wasn't incorrect. We used the information that was available to us. And in those comments of his tweet was a lot about, oh, fake news. They don't know what they're doing. You know, I hear that all the time. The other side of it was, oh, why would journalists need that? And like, why do you think you have access to that information? You know, they don't have to answer to you.
I just want to jump in for one more second. This is not about future plans. This is just about what happened and who had been detained, correct? This is all in the
past. Yeah, it was just very straight and narrow. We just wanted an update. How many people had you detained up to that point?
Right.
Anything that had already happened up till Monday. This wasn't, hey, how, you know, We know they don't give us future plans of how many people they plan to arrest or anything like that because they want to keep us in the dark.
Although he did say 5,000, to be fair. They did give a number at the beginning.
Yeah, they did give a number. You know, we've heard that number kind of change back and forth a little bit, but this was what had already happened that we were looking at. So I did another story Tuesday and kind of laid out everything and said, you know, here's the email that I sent. This is what the information we had. And we noticed in our newsroom that it was a pattern. It wasn't just me who wasn't getting information. Several reporters throughout, you know, however long they had been there up until that point, were really lacking responses from the Department of Homeland Security, or we would get them 4 days later. So we kind of just laid it out and said, we are trying to do the work that is important. We are trying to be journalists, and we can't do that when the Department of Homeland Security is not giving us the responses that we need. So we're going to be as transparent as possible with what we have.
I want to jump in real quick before we run out of time, and it concerns the social media part of this. And to me, this is all about what really angered me about this, in addition to your being family, is the government trying to back down the media and trying to shut you down and trying to intimidate you and bully you, not directly, but through social media, with people telling you to do what now? That they should do what to you?
Oh, yeah. People were saying, you know, go capture her, go arrest her, go deport her. She's a fake journalist. I told them, you know, I posted something on TikTok like, I'm not going anywhere. This is my job. This is what I do.
And you're an American citizen besides.
Yeah. So I just think it's important that, you know, we as journalists continue to ask the questions, whether we get an answer or not. But, you know, the public needs to understand that this is our job and we play an important role in society. And this is what we are supposed to be doing.
And your ducks are all in a row. You have everything thoroughly documented, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Screenshots of everything, emails are saved, you know, the whole newsroom is in line with all the information that we have.
I just wanted to thank you for coming on. I saw the TikTok video and I wanted to have you on to expose this, to tell the story, because it's not easy doing what you do. Being a journalist can sometimes put you in a bad spot when you're actually just trying to do the will of the people. And you mentioned even the Constitution and the Fourth Estate in your TikTok video. There's a reason, and you can't selectively say, well, I want the media to look at this, but not look at that. Correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's, you know, all or nothing. And I don't think we would be better off with the nothing side of things. You know, journalism, again, is the Fourth Estate for a reason. And again, we play an important role, and I don't think people realize what society would be and government would be without journalists who ask questions and hold people accountable. It would be a very scary world.
Thank you for your work, Alyssa. You always have us if you need anything at all, if we can help with anything, and take it easy.
I appreciate it. Have a good one.
Happy New Year. All right, Alyssa Curtis, WWL Louisiana reporter. We'll take a break, find out what Newell's got planned for us when we return here on WWL.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.